This afternoon, I invite you to turn to John chapter 3 and verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. All right, now reading John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, but testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Reading John chapter 3, verses 1 through verses 15. This afternoon, I would like to speak to you for a few moments on the subject of regeneration. Regeneration. I would dare say there's not one person in this room that's an adult that have not read these words many, many times. And you're familiar with these words. When I say those words again to you today, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It was a verse of scripture, I'm sure, that even the smallest children in this congregation this afternoon have memorized. You probably set that child on your knee and read these very words to that child, because these particular words are the most outstanding words we'll find, I believe, in the book of John. They teach us something so very, very important. And it brings us this morning, this afternoon, to our subject. The subject is the new birth, or we may go ahead and call it for what it is. It is a subject of regeneration. As our Lord Jesus Christ was sitting with Nicodemus, Nicodemus asked him that important question, and our Lord expounded to him those words, verily, 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 verily. Listen now to me, Nicodemus. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because, Nicodemus, what I'm about to tell you will determine what life is all about, spiritual life, to a person who seeks to know God, who intends to go or desires to know God. We must, in the Lord's very words, we must be born again. No amount of education, no amount of culture can bring us and produce within us the quality that will be accepted before God for the entrance into the gates of heaven. We must be born again, born anew. As it was astonishing to Nicodemus to hear, and he responded by saying, should a person go back into the womb and be born again? That's not what our Lord was saying. It's not necessary to be born again as we were all born once, but we must be made anew, a new creature in Christ. Something has to happen to us before we can be acceptable before God, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to fellowship with Him. We must have that great transaction, that great miracle to take place in our life if we are ever expecting to go into the presence of Almighty God. I would like to think today that our Lord Jesus Christ was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I have somewhat to say to you. Nicodemus, I have something to tell you that is so important. Now, Nicodemus, lend me your ear. Listen to what I'm about to say. I wonder, how many Nicodemuses do you have? How many Nicodemuses do you have in your house? How many Nicodemuses do you work with? How many Nicodemuses do you chat with on your computer? How many Nicodemuses do you know in foreign countries throughout this world? How many of those you would like to sit down and say, now Nicodemus, listen to me. We've talked about the weather. We've talked about politics. We've talked about health care. We've talked about tolerance. We've talked about all of these things. But listen, Nicodemus, listen. Listen now to what I have to say. Nicodemus need to hear two things, and they're my points this afternoon. Our Lord would have Nicodemus to know these two things. And the first one is this, that self-regeneration is not possible. It's not possible for you to regenerate yourself. It's not possible for you today to renew your spirit. It's not possible for you to make yourself over, to make yourself into a different person. So many people today are so unhappy, so dearly unhappy in their life. They think if I could just move, I'll be happy. Or if I could just have another mate, I'll be happy. Or if I could just have another job, I'll be happy. But happiness is a quality that is within, not without. The situations around us does not make us happy or unhappy. Happiness is within. And what makes true happiness is to know the eternal God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Once we have known Him, we have happiness within our soul today. Nicodemus, he needed to know some things. He needed to know that it is necessary to have the regenerating operation of the Holy Spirit in order to be converted unto God. Nicodemus needed to have a disposition to exercise the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, which he did not. He also needed to know that he was completely contrary, and man is completely contrary to the will and the purpose of Almighty God. No man seeketh after God. No one wants to worship our Heavenly Father unless He has been made anew by the Spirit of God. Those are the things that Nicodemus really needed to know. If this were not the case, If these things are not necessary, then every person could come before God and say, now I accept you. Here I am. Take me. But man cannot come before God because he does not have the will to do so. It's not that we have, out here in the parking lot, we have the gates closed today. Not because we don't want people to visit, but because of other reasons. But today, there are no bars keeping men from coming before God. The only barrier of men coming before God and falling upon their face and asking God for sovereign mercy is themselves. Their sin is a destruction is within their own heart. And that is what regeneration tears away. It tears the bars away. We have a song we sing around Easter time that talks about tearing the bars away. If we expect to go into the presence of God, there's some things that's going to have to take place in this life. God, only God and God alone can open the heart and put the grace of God within it. Today in Romans 8 and verse 7, the scripture talks about being filled with enmity against him. Our hearts are continually against the will and the purpose of God. That has to be taken care of. The scripture also says in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. How silly would it be for us to go today to a funeral home and walk up to a casket and ask the deceased person to rise up on their own will. It's not possible. That person is dead. That person has no life. There's no brain function. There's no brain waves. There is nothing going on within that person. He's dead. A person outside of the safety of the grace of Almighty God is like that person lying in that casket. He's dead. He's stiff. He's going to be taken to the cemetery. He's going to be placed into a grave. The grave is going to be covered. That's his future. And for everyone who is outside of the grace of God, he is also dead. He's going to be taken to a cemetery and he's going to be Lord and it's going to be the end of him. But it's not the end for those who are outside of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the destruction of soul that to follow. He's dead and trespasses and in sins. But this evening there are hope. In John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13, the scripture says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them which believe on his name, which were not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Nicodemus, you need to listen. You need to listen because there is no hope for you outside of the operation of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus, you'll never call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never call upon Almighty God apart from a supernatural change within your life. The reasons that he will never call upon the name of the Lord is because, first of all, Nicodemus, even though you have a pure heritage, even though you have a pedigree, even though you are of the ruling class of the Jews, yet grace does not run in the blood. As a Jew supposes, holiness is not a part of family tradition. Regardless of where and who our family is, regardless of who our mother and father is, regardless of what schools we attend, regardless of what neighborhoods we live in, it doesn't make any difference. We are still outside of the ark of safety because our heritage, our name, our blood, kin, our mothers, our fathers, our grandfathers does not instill within us the grace of God. We come across a doctrine within our country, covenant theology, where children grow up into the church and are confirmed, much like that of another denomination. It's not so, because children can grow up into a church. They can go all to Sunday school from the very earliest to the end and go into their adulthood and still sit in pews without ever knowing the grace of God. Never think for one moment that our children will be schooled into the grace of God. They will never reach what we would like them to find within trying to teach them about grace. Yes, we're going to teach them about the Scripture. Yes, we're going to teach them the moral ethics of the Scripture. But never think because we are a child of God. Never think because we be preachers, we be teachers, that because of all of our work, because of all that I believe, that my children will fall and come to the knowledge of God because of my education, because of my belief, because of my doctrine, because of my example before them. Grace comes by only one means, and that is a supernatural change within each person through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. We can never accept any other truth other than that. We have an educational system in this country, and we feel like if our children get a good education, they'll have a good life. Much of that may be true in some extent. But when it comes to meeting our Maker, meeting our Lord in heaven, standing before God, it is not the case. It is not the case. There is another thing that Nicodemus needed to know, and that is the new birth is not brought about by power of influence of others. I've already touched on some of this. This morning, we have had the privilege of hearing the Word of God preached through many, many wonderful years. And every message that we've heard is a blessing. It is a grace of God to us that He chose to put us in a place to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But just because of a faithfulness of a faithful minister, just because of the faithful parents, and we have great influence within our homes, good examples, yet that does not mean that our children, that we're going to become children of God because we've had the best influence around us. Regeneration is a soul work of the Spirit. Nicodemus, are you listening? Regeneration is a soul work of the Spirit. In regeneration, one of God's elect is the subject, and the Spirit of God is the soul agent. Soul agent. Unless God chooses, He's already elected all of His children unto salvation. Until God speaks life into a person, he is, as Ephesians has taught us, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. There is no life, there is no light within that person until God has opened your heart in the work of the Spirit of God. Nothing else can be a substitute for the Holy Spirit regenerating power of Almighty God. The subject of the new birth is wholly passive. He does not. God is the one who does the acting, and we're the passive object of God's eternal love. Here we have in this world today millions yes, billions of people. And for every one of those who enter into the gates of heaven, it is the cause and the purpose of God through all eternity to speak life to that person. The only way life comes is through the work of the Spirit of God. Sometimes we think that because of hard times in our life, maybe because of sorrow that comes to our home, maybe because of other things that happens into our life, we gravitate to a church. We gravitate to those who seem to be happy, seem to have some spirit of freedom about them. And people do that. They gravitate to a church. Things go wrong in their life, and they start going to church thinking maybe some of the joy that I see in their life may gravitate or take root in my life. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Until God speaks life into us, we'll never know what it is really to have to be sorry for our sins. We'll never find faith in Christ. We'll never exercise our heart to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that old picture that we have in our mind of a horse and a buggy. And generally we always see the horse pulling the buggy and someone inside of the carriage with two straps, and he taps on the horse and the horse takes off. That's a normal picture in our minds. But in the minds of those of today, it's just the opposite. The horse is being dragged backwards by the person that pulls the straps. It's reverse order. In religion, everything in life goes the other way. But in religion, it seems like everything goes the other way. That we are in control. That we are in control of our life. We are the ones that determine whether we want to worship God or not. Our Heavenly Father is a sovereign majesty. Our Heavenly Father is the one who looks down from heaven and decides who He's going to speak life into, who He's going to be make you an emblem of His grace and His mercy. Of all the rascals in the New Testament, God chose to do that very thing to Paul. I suppose to make him an example of what grace and mercy can do for a person. A person who hated God, who hated the Christian, who hated and then had contrary opinion, who had a terrible disposition toward the truth of God. God changed him and made him a person who loved the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Paul had a disposition, yes. He had an educated disposition. And today, if you've got an educated opinion, everybody wants to hear your educated opinion. More like an educated fool speaking. But today, in religion today, religion is speaking very loudly, but it speaks not with the tongue of Almighty God. It is not the tongue of the Spirit of God, because it's contrary to God's will. In Romans 9, verse 16, so then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. It is nothing within us. It is all within the working command of Almighty God that produces life within us. I had an occasion to speak. And I spoke. And I spoke as clearly as I could. The word, so far, has come back void. But let me tell you what has happened. Though the word of God went to this person, his heart is still closed. But another has heard. And that's the way the Word of God is. The Word of God goes out. Who the Word of God goes out to, we don't know. We have those that we call Nicodemuses in our life. We have those that we preach to in this life. And we pray for those that they come to know God. But that doesn't mean that they're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that you may never know are the ones that maybe God will speak to and open their heart. To find out that the message that you spoke had been seen by other people, and other people have said, I've heard what you had to say. And now I correspond with so many of those people in another country. They ask the questions that I wanted the other person to answer. But that is the way the truth of God is. We never know what God is going to do. But there's one thing we know for sure, that God is going to do a perfect work in men's lives. The greatest obstacle in knowing God is the person who is listening. We are the greatest obstacle in coming before God because we have a predisposition against God, not for Him. We're not planning to go to God. It is God Himself who came to us. It is the will and the purpose of God of sending His Son to die, not for you, but for me. But for me. As long as we think of the world as our ministry, I think we get it all wrong. The real ministry of the Word of God is to you, to you, to you, because God, His love is centered around people, around His elect of God. And that's how I feel about that. There is a great display of God's power apparent in regeneration. It is an exceeding great joy that takes place within the heart of the child that receives the work of the Holy Spirit. I have an example to give you. And that example is none other than what we call Easter today. On Easter Sunday, our minds are brought to our Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. As our Lord lay within the tomb, the Holy Spirit, the power of Almighty God, brought Him to life. And our Lord arose from that tomb, and He tucked the cloth and laid it aside, and He made His way out of the tomb. This afternoon, the same power that brought our Lord Jesus Christ out of the tomb is the same power that has brought you to the knowledge of Almighty God. There is a kinship this afternoon between your resurrection and our Lord's resurrection. As our Lord arose from the tomb, so you now, you rise and you go with Him. Go with the Lord. Go with the Lord. As He came forth, we go with Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 and 10, the scripture says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him." Our whole life, our whole faith, our whole life is dependent upon that great work of regeneration. We think so many times about faith and practice. We get so carried away about our lives. What to do now? Do this, do that. I shouldn't do that. I should make amends in this area, which is all good, I suppose. But where we began our faith is where we should be at this very moment. I think of the example of Easter once again. Easter brings us back once a year to think about one of the most important things in the life of any child of God. And that is regeneration. About being resurrected from being dead and being made alive in Christ Jesus. That's the message this afternoon. As we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we think of His resurrection, let us think about our regeneration. Because as we began, so we shall be in the very end. May God bless you this afternoon.